Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And Andrew Horowitz apparently is in the flight path of a 747.
Yeah, it's coming right at me, man. I mean, where do I go? What do I do? How are you, my friend? It's been a while.
Yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah, what's the date today?
The last show we did was 2 years ago. Today is Tuesday, October 9th, for those keeping score.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on here. You know, I was telling you before we came on that I had this strange thing happen. You know those light bulbs that we are supposed to have now with the coils in it and the special energy efficiency, how they're supposed to last a long time? And for a while, it was going to be the end of the incandescent bulb, right?
Yes.
They were banned. So I have a row of those.
Is this one of the high-efficiency halogens, or is this a fluorescent compact?
I believe it's one of the high efficiency. Well, it's a floodlight, but inside the floodlight, it's got a coil thing. And I think it says halogen. It may be. It's supposed to be like thousands and thousands of hours.
Oh yeah.
So I have.
They lie.
And they warm up. It takes a while to warm them up a little bit. So they cost three times as much. And you say, what the heck? I'm going to buy these
LED,
because
then. Might be an LED. You know?
Well, I put this thing in. It's less than a year and it blew out already.
Huh? You got scammed.
Yeah, it won't be the first or last time. But anyway, lots going on. We have riots in Spain. We have riots in Greece. People are pissed off over there about the austerity. Angela Merkel goes over and tries to make nicey-nice with Greece, and she's greeted with a bunch of people wearing Nazi stickers and flags and all sorts of horrible things.
And what does she expect?
Maybe not,
they're expecting her to throw posies at her? I mean, what's the deal?
Schnitzel and knockwurst, a little strudel. No? I guess.
There's another plane coming in. Where are you, right outside of the Fort Lauderdale regional airport?
Yeah, reporting live from Fort Lauderdale Airport. This is Storm Horowitz. I can't believe you can hear that. They happen all the time. Must be that we have the new souped-up microphone that we are trying to get the sound with. Anyway, so all sorts of things going on there. And again, you know, every once in a while it dies down and then it rises back up. And again, we're concerned about it. We're concerned about the fact that the IMF and the World Bank both, they knocked down the global growth outlook for the next year or two. And the World Bank didn't seem to really cause too much problem. When the IMF did it, people got up and noticed. And the markets kind of sold off last night into today and kept on going lower. Apple. Now, listen, for those of you that don't know, John wrote what I thought was a rather, I'll say for John, a positive article on Apple for MarketWatch. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I write plenty of positive articles about Apple. I mean, everybody just remembers the ones where I'm slightly critical, but it's very rare.
Well, I remember this article, and I said to you, I wrote you back in an email. This article was kind of positive, and to me, it smells to high hell of immediately get short. Didn't I write that?
Immediately get short.
Did I not write that to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Since then, it has been sour. The stock has been down day after day. As a matter of fact, it's about a 10% swoon since its high.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, it's expected.
It's expected because
here's the
of
the way I see it. You know, I'm not short or anything in the stock. I might do it on our little thing. I've done it a couple times, but I haven't done it in real life. And I think there's an opportunity in real life to do it, but I don't think it's anytime soon. And we always have to remember when John Sculley took over the first time Steve Jobs left, the stock skyrocketed and the company made 10x as much money as they made before that transition. I think they're going to still make more money. I wouldn't touch Apple one way or the other until after they roll out their little 7-inch pad.
The mini pad.
Yeah. I just wouldn't do it. I mean, you don't know what else they're going to do. I mean, can you imagine being short Apple right now and then they come out with an announcement saying, by the way, we're going to do a 10-for-1 split. Can you imagine what that stock would do if they announced a 10-for-1 split?
I mean, splits will get things a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen stocks skyrocket. Tech stocks, when they do a split, everyone goes nuts.
Yeah, they go nuts, but it's usually not the best thing. 10-for-1s are a real bad thing, actually. Although Baidu was good. I'll give you that. Baidu's now trading at about 106, and that's after a 10-for-1 split.
Yeah, that's who they'd follow. That would be the model. Yeah, yeah. No, historically, 10-for-1's like, wow, what's it's crazy. Okay, let's just say they do a 2-for-1. That would the stock would skyrocket.
Yeah, I mean, because what you're saying is, even though it changes nothing in the valuation, that people will go in and
zero.
Say, it's cheaper. Oh, it's so much cheaper now.
Yes, it's people... crazy. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but it always happens.
So what's the story with – is this whole Apple thing – first of all, we got scratch cases. We got supply problems. We got Foxconn on strike. We got –
riots. You know, my fear was the riots. Foxconn had riots.
The riots of Foxconn, and that, which they denied. But then
– Oh, yeah. So, well, I found out the real story about that, by the way.
What was it? Angela Merkel came to visit?
Yes, exactly. And they greeted her with schnitzel. No, the Foxconn riots, which nobody seemed to report. There were some obscure Chinese sources that I got this from. And I was going to write it up. I never bothered. But apparently what really had happened is that Foxconn is so big. They have like a million people working there, 700,000. It's huge. And they have dormitories. Mm-hmm. The policy of the company is always to keep people from the same villages together because that mm-hmm. way they could socialize and they could all speak the same dialect and all the rest of it. Well, apparently they put two villages next to each other that apparently hated each other.
Uh-oh.
And it was like the Hatfielders and McCoys, and something triggered it. One of the guys said something to the other guys across the hall, and all hell broke loose. And that's really what happened.
Right, right. Yeah, it smells like hell when you cook that Hunan chicken.
Yeah. Your food stinks, and so do you.
So what about the maps, though? Are the maps a big issue? Because I have not used the maps besides one time. Not that I use maps regularly, but in the past I've used my iPhone with the Google Maps to do a little location. Where am I? You know, I haven't used it. I don't know why. I just don't know why. It's not any reason why. I just really haven't used it. But a lot of people are very concerned about some of the flaws with the mapping service.
Yeah, the map is terrible. I've used the maps. My son has an iPhone, and he hates the maps, and he showed me some of the problems, and I tried using them. The maps are inaccurate. They're crappy. It's just not a very good map. I mean, they could buy. I don't know why they just don't go out, but they got the money. They have more money in the bank than any other company. Why don't they go buy
TomTom, MacQuest, Garmin, something, right?
Magellan.
Yeah.
Get them all. Buy all of them and lock up the market.
Yeah. But this is all because they're having a feud. All these companies have now, which were making nicey-nice to build the entire underlying ecosystem of mobile devices, are now doing major backsteps. Walmart's no longer selling the Amazon Kindle. Google's no longer, is not as friendly. Apple's saying nothing. Google is going to be automatic. And they're all sort of now staking their territory.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Well, it's part of it. I think there's also these lawsuits. It's just a lot of ill will.
Right. Well, you got the, because now they all had to buy the patents and all that and trademarks and blah, blah, blah. And they just keep on and on with just beating each other up.
Yeah, that's what happens. Well, anyway, so the maps are a problem. I think they're correctable.
Now, did you hear what happened with Microsoft today?
No.
Poor Steve Ballmer.
What happened?
Poor Steve Ballmer. He, the board had, board of directors, a board of, or maybe it was the board of Microsoft, had voted that because of the flap and the problems with the browser issues in the EU, you know how they came down on them again and slapped them for not fixing the problem?
Right. They did. They ignored the EU, essentially.
He is going to have to forfeit part of his bonus structure.
Oh, the poor guy. I mean, I feel so sorry for him.
Yeah. It's it is kind of a little bit of a slap in the face, obviously. You know, or a slap on the hand, I should say. But he's going to have to forfeit some of this for not obeying the EU's demands. So I don't know if that's going to mean they're going to actually do something about it, or he's just going to say, who cares? You know,
the tax accountant came up to him and says, is there any way you can, like, take a beating on this?
Right, postpone it.
If you take this bonus, we're going to be totally hosed.
Yeah, postpone it for a couple of years. This way you come up with something. That's a good point. I wouldn't put it past them.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, he goes into the board meeting and says, look, I know you get this bonus lined up for me, but if I take the bonus, I'm hosed.
Yeah.
Well, I know what we can do, one of the smart guys says. He says, let's make it look like punishment because of you and that EU thing that you – beautiful job, by the way, Steve, on that one. Those guys are brain dead. I mean, it took him years to figure it out.
So create goodwill that the board is actually doing something that is sensitive to the fact that they broke the rules, but yet at the same time allow Ballmer to postpone taxes to sometime in the future.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's way possible.
Leave it to you to think of these things. I like it.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah. I'd do
from
it.
From the twisted mind.
I'd be doing
how to twist anything to something that's obscurely possible.
It's a positive attitude is what you have to have.
Yeah. So housing is making a comeback in the U.S. as it seems. Supposedly, the Case-Shiller Index.
There's all kind. I'm wondering about this, too, because I'm seeing all. In fact, just as before we started doing this show today, I was watching PBS, and they were doing a big special on all these housing prices that are higher than ever in Austin and Denver and these places. I'm just very suspicious about this. I'm not seeing that. I'm in a hot housing area. I've been in one forever. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. I mean, there's nothing hotter, generally speaking. I mean, there's places where this stuff's more expensive, but this is, you know, where there's a lot of action.
Yep.
And I'm not seeing it. I see the high prices, but I don't see action.
I mean, I will tell you that I know several people. I'm in Florida, South Florida, and there's Boca, let's call one area, Palm Beach area, Boca. There's where I am is a bit west Fort Lauderdale. There's also Miami. Miami is hot. Condos are going. All right, let's put that aside. We'll say it's Latin money. It's a whole thing going on. I am telling you, though, people put up houses for sale here, and they go in relatively quickly. Hmm. And not at major discounts. So I'm not talking about short sales. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, housing selling at what close to what the asking price is again. Now, maybe it's, you know, like New York, maybe a little bit in California areas, some in Texas, maybe Florida. Again, maybe there's hot spots around the country. But I agree with you. A lot of places are still pretty much dead. But that brings us to another story. PBS, Big Bird. Have you seen this crapola?
Yeah.
With Big Bird. Now, for all of you that we have to talk about the debate, obviously. But for all of you who haven't heard, there was a discussion on the debate about what would be cut. And it would be cut through attrition. It would be cut slowly. Things that don't make money that we're spending money on from the government. Things that we have to cut back on. For example, one would be PBS. Well, how could we cut out Big Bird is what the Democrats say. Okay. So now the Democrats, President Obama, his campaign, they run a commercial with Big Bird in it saying that this guy wants to cut out Big Bird. And they got a picture of it with Sesame Street and Big Bird. Sesame Street is all pissed off. Saying, you didn't get permission for us to use that character.
Right.
And we're nonpartisan. Take it down.
Yeah, you can't just so use ridiculous. Any image you can, but that's, you know, but yeah, but it's, the whole thing is crazy. Actually, I think under fair use, it's possible. So I don't know. Whatever the case, it's just, who cares?
Well, they don't want Sesame Street being partisan and political because obviously all the young viewers may get upset. But nonetheless, you know, they don't want that, and you can't just use that. And obviously, they're taking the whole Big Bird thing to kind of make it look like, you know, this poor Bambi. You know, don't eat
and
Bambi.
Romney's this horrible person because he's trying to kill Big Bird.
Kill Big
and
Bird.
And then eat him.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't put up, like, Oscar the Grouch up there because who cares? But, you know, you don't want to put up Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, or, you know, if it's the Muppets that are playing, or Big Bird possibly. Romper Room, The Reading Room, Captain Kangaroo. How dare you? But you know what? There comes a point that we can't have everything in life that we want just because we want it, right?
Well, the government doesn't have to pay for PBS. Have you ever looked at those sponsors they've got? The MacArthur Foundation, nothing but money. Bill and, Melinda Gates Foundation, all these railroads.
Yeah, I mean, they should
get
just have
tons of money, and they do commercials. I mean, why don't they just stop begging for government money? They shouldn't even be begging for viewer money. They got plenty of money from these big foundations.
This particular episode of Sesame Street is brought to you by many billionaires around the country.
And Chevron.
That's all they have. Yeah. Chevron, when you go and get gas one day in the future, or if you're in the car, beg your parents to go to Chevron. all right. E-cig sales, big thing. Annual sales reaching about $300 to $500 million a year this year. So the consumers are demanding this non-combustible, low-risk option What are these things? This is these things where you can smoke, but it comes out vapor.
Yeah.
And it's electronically something or other.
Yeah, there's some goo in there, and it's apparently gets heated up with a little with a battery, and then it vaporizes. Then you breathe in essentially water vapor and nicotine, and boom, out it comes.
It's that kind of chopping up Nicorette gum and rolling it in a paper.
Nicorette gum's probably better for you.
Yeah, crazy.
How come that stuff hasn't taken off? And what's the who owns that company?
No idea. But there's the Nicoderm, the patch, or whatever they call that, or Nicopat. Got a bunch of these.
A friend of mine who is a smoking addict, he says that the best thing you can really have if you like nicotine buzz is to put two patches on and smoke a cigar.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, you told me to try that scotch.
Okay.
The
Lafroy?
Lafroy. I had the Lafroy.
Did you get the Lafroy 30?
I don't know, but I will tell you, it was extremely smoky, casky, very rich, very, very thick, very delicious.
Well, I have the Lafroy is a great scotch. It's an Islay from one of the. It's not near all the other guys necessarily. This island. Islay means island, I think. Anyway, Lafroy, they have a. I think you can get a 10 and 11, 12 or 12 or something like that. I think there's a 10 floating around. It's really hard to find the 20, the 30, and the 40. And you can find them at specialty shops, and they're extremely expensive. I would say that the 30, of all the scotches I've had, and I've had a pretty good range of them, is maybe the greatest scotch I've ever had in my life. And the 40, really? I wouldn't even bother with, because anyone who does distilled spirits will tell you that once something is 30 years in the barrels, 30 years is the most that it doesn't do anything after that. Just, now you're just showing off. So the 40, which is probably more expensive, and probably tastes pretty much the same.
This is $16 a shot. So I don't know. That's at a reasonable place, not an expensive place. That's a place that gives me good prices.
That might be a 20 or a 30, one of the two.
It was very
good. Really dig up the 30, because that's the one that I don't have any because I can't afford it anymore. But when I had it, I'd give it to people, and they would just, you know, they thought they new scotch until they tasted that.
Yeah, it's a whole different experience. Very, very good. All right, listen, a couple of things. First of all, surprise, the outlook for Greece mortgage-backed securities remains negative. Greece economy is going to be recession through 2012, 2013, 2014. Okay, moving along. Big crisis with crisis in the Middle East again. We got Turkey now firing on Syria, and we got the Iranian currency just flopping. We got Israel counterattacking, on the West Bank, and after the Hamas, after they shot down an unmanned drone, and all this stuff is going on. Meanwhile, the dollar's going up because of safe haven move with what's going on. And lo and behold, oil is moving up as well. Touched about $87 a couple days ago, and it's about 90, I don't know where it is, 91-ish. It's up another 2.5% today.
Yeah, well, they're gouging us here on the West Coast.
Premium, oh, that's ugly.
Premium gas right now. I went past the gas station, $5.05.
Now, I understand something was done today to try to bring down the prices because the refiners shut down. There's a whole
bunch of things going on. Most of it is malarkey. But
Jerry
Brown came out and says, okay, we're going to release. I don't even know what he's talking about, by the way.
Something about the next batch.
We're going to release the winter blend. Release the hounds. I mean, it's like we're going to release the winter blend, and that will lower prices somehow. I don't know why that is. I mean, why would the winter blend? It seems to me, if I remember my blending in the days when I worked at an oil refinery, the winter blend, I'm pretty sure, generally speaking, costs more to make because it has a lot of butane and other lighter aromatics in it. So the thing,
right, because it's got a light fest. Right.
It's cold. It's cold.
Right.
So why would that make things cheaper? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems.
Well, maybe they just have a stockpile of it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's another political scam.
Well, whatever it is, it just doesn't. It's something fake about it. But whatever the case is, the prices are high, so you just don't drive a lot.
Yeah, well, it's really very bad. So not good for the
Washington State. I was up in Washington State, and I rented a Mustang. Because apparently they had a Mustang convertible, because it's cold now, and so they had nothing to do with these cars, so they gave it to me basically for the price of a Focus.
Nice.
So I drove it around, and it has all these little buttons and things you can push so you can see what your gas mileage was. And this thing had a lot of power, but even though it was I think it was a V6, I looked at the engine, but you look at it, you go, wait, you can't even tell what it is.
Not anymore. You can't tell.
It could have been a 12. I don't know. You look down there, there's no plugs. You can't find anything. Right. But it looked like it might have been a V6. Whatever the case was, I got 28 miles a gallon.
Wow.
Because I was on the freeway a lot. And this thing had a lot of spunk. I mean, you could really punch it. It would take off like a rocket.
So, wow, that's pretty impressive, though.
I was very impressed.
I mean, my son has a Hyundai, a little Genesis Coupe. That only gets like 22 miles a gallon, which I was really surprised. By the way, he had a little accident, and kind of the guy in front of him stopped short, so the story goes. He rammed into him. So his the nose of the car buckles a bit, the hood is buckled, a little crack in the windshield, and he's fine. $10,000 worth of damage. So I get the State Farm claim information in today, and we bring it to the dealer, by the way, with the Hyundai dealer. And I get the thing, and I look at it, and it says, "Dear Ms. Hardaway, we want to let you know that the quote that you're getting includes recycled parts and non-original parts for Hyundai."
Okay.
And I'm thinking, wait a second, what is that about? So they're quoting them all these recycled parts. The car's a year old. I can't believe it. The second thing was the towing. The towing must have been if it was 20 miles of towing, I'd be surprised. What'd they charge?
What?
$588.
Wow. That's a good business to be in.
That's what I said. I said, what a great business. What do you do all day? You just hook up a car. So first of all, I'm fighting the towing. Even though I don't have to pay for it, it's in the insurance. There's no way I'm letting the insurance company pay that. The second thing is that these guys at the dealership are trying to, you know, push off on us recycled parts and non-original OEM parts. What kind of crap is this? What kind of world do we live in?
Yeah.
And it's 10 grand, which is half the price of the car for a hood, a quarter panel, and a windshield. I mean, what else is the car made of?
Just total it out and get a new car.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Half the price of the car. That's what I said. I mentioned that to my son. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. You know? Everybody's being ripped off. All right, a couple of other things. Speaking about sons and schools, SAT scores in the United States were the worst since records began.
Cool.
Part of the blame is being laid on this NCLB, the No Child Left Behind initiative.
Yeah, that's part of it.
And the teaching to the tests. I think I told you I was with George Jeb Bush. Did I tell you I was with Jeb Bush for a little?
Hey, now though, Jeb.
Yeah, Jebby boy. He was not dressed as impressively as I thought he should be for this little thing. But anyway, I said to him, Jeb, I know you're not, you know, whatever, but you were one of the guys really behind this whole thing with your brother and blah. What is the story? What is the whole thing down in Florida? Just go to New York, Ohio, New Jersey, wherever the curriculum has proven for decades, anywhere in the country that's been proven to work to turn out good students. And just copy it. What's the big issue with this whole thing? And there's a real problem. I've talked to a couple of teachers that are saying the kids coming into 9th, 10th grade are having difficulty reading. And I'm talking about in affluent areas with some of the best schools, you know, some of the best schools supposedly in the area of South Florida, which whatever that means. And the problem is that because of their lack of writing, which is nothing more than the school's not teaching it, lack of reading, which is because, listen to me, I live in an affluent area. They couldn't have books last year to give them the book To Kill a Mockingbird. No, excuse me, Of Mice and Men, because there wasn't enough funds. Is that unbelievable?
That's ridiculous.
I said, I would have bought a case. How much could a case have used Of Mice and Men been?
You could go, yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch of used bookstores in New York that have boxes full of those things.
Boxes full of those
things.
Right. When I read that, it was like a tattered book. What's the difference?
Yeah.
So he finally gets the book. It's a brand – listen, this, Of Mice and Men is what, 90 pages maybe?
It's very short.
It's a hardcover brand new book that he has to have.
Why?
Because they're morons. They think that everybody has to have these like brand new things. It's crazy.
Wow.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. It gets my
I'll bet it. Yeah, probably your veins are bubbling.
Let's talk about some stocks. Lucky. Green Mountain Coffee. This is the second time that we actually shorted Green Mountain. That the day after, you would think I would know something here. Starbucks comes out with like a big announcement and just flattens Green Mountain.
Wow. Nailed it.
This is, I mean, we're talking big move down. Starbucks comes out. They're going to do some competition. And then, as it turns out, my son goes for his birthday and he wants to buy a Green Mountain coffee maker. He gets seven.
You should throw him out of the family.
Yeah. There was a time when I wouldn't let anybody wear Crocs. But now, listen to this. This is good research. My wife comes home and she says, "You won't believe this. We had a coupon to get 10% off, but it was 70% off to begin with on the shelf." I said, "Really?" She says, "Yes, they had to check it a few times. There was something wrong, they thought, but it was 70% off." Now, fast forward to this. It turns out, because the Green Mountain has a newer coffee maker with a newer cup design that is now higher priced, by the way, than the Starbucks machine, that they're doing a liquidation on a lot of these things, which is what also is killing the stock.
Hmm.
So all sorts of problems there.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
So Green Mountain, in all its wisdom,
yeah,
discovers that Starbucks is competing with them. They dump all their old inventory at huge discounts and then decide to come out with a machine to compete with Starbucks that's more expensive.
Well, I think that they came out with the machine, put up the price, and Starbucks says, okay, let's knock down the price a little bit here.
Oh, so they just put it to them.
Yep, pretty good.
Well, they are a competitor. I can see Starbucks doing this. And why wouldn't they?
Yeah, and then Schultz comes on again and says that we're going to be the number one single cup brewer, and that just also hurt the stock after that again. I mean, it's like left, right hook, you know?
Huh.
So all sorts of problems there. And so anyway, that's interesting. Hewlett-Packard, by the way, it came out with an announcement in between the last time we talked. And they had a very significant cut to their guidance. Fiscal year 2013, EPS is being cut dramatically. The stock is the lowest since it's been in 2003. Do you have any idea what the price of Hewlett-Packard is now?
I don't know. It's way down.
You remember where it was last time we talked?
I think it was no, I don't remember. It was like 15 or something like that.
It was 17. It's like 14 and change now.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Well, what did I say? $5.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's probably a good short.
Yeah, good idea. So we also had the I want to mention this. I went to some charitable events last week.
A lot of people don't really get about shorts.
What?
Is that if you short something at 90 and it goes to 10, that looks like a big move. Well, that is a big move. Right?
It is a big move, yes.
But if you sell something for $9 and it goes to $1, it's the same move.
Right. $9 to $4 is 50%, same as 100 to 50.
Yeah.
So I went to some of these Taste of the Nations recently. Oh, that was good, yeah. Taste of the Nations and a lot of pork belly being served. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, they got you like some with it. Get your freezers, ladies and gentlemen. You've got lots of stuff to put in there.
Yep. All right, so 7.8% unemployment rate.
And Jack Welch, by the way, today, I guess, you know, he made some pronouncement that this was cooking the books.
Oh, he was tweeting it. He was all over the place.
Yeah, conspiracy. He quit. He quit or got pushed out of Fortune magazine. His column is now gone.
Reuters as well.
Boy, it didn't take much to get rid of him.
Nope. And he's going to supposedly
You aren't following the rules that we set. You're out.
Yeah, supposedly he had a better fit with the Wall Street Journal. He's going to write some op-ed for them.
Yeah, well, that, you know.
And supposedly he left. He left. I'm thinking, I don't know about this. But there was he came out right after the 7.8% within moments and tweeted, this is Chicago-style politics, and it was pure manipulation by the government to get the rates down here. There's no way it's possible it's down there.
I actually tend to agree with him.
I mean, I'm all for a good conspiracy, okay? I'm all for manipulation.
Everything's a conspiracy. Things people just do stuff once in a while. I mean, if somebody slams on the brakes on the cable car and the car wrecks him, say, "Oh, conspiracy." No. Somebody pulled the plug.
You're telling me of all the people that are at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they all pulled together?
No, I don't think so. But all I know is the following. You look at the current shadow stats or one of our websites that we like looking at. And some months back, when the government numbers were showing a downturn, the shadow stats numbers are still going up. Explain that one.
Well, I will tell you this, that I agree with the numbers, statistically speaking, that we've seen prior to this one, that because of the change in the labor participation rate, we talked about this, that the numbers are possible. If you go back to pre-2008 and keep the labor participation rate at the same level, you're at about a 10% or so unemployment rate. So it was just a statistical anomaly why unemployment was going down. What I think is really the problem here is, number one, we didn't see a change in the participation rate. Number two, there's 585,000 people added to the payrolls in the household survey, miraculously, on a part-time basis. I don't know if they worked one day or if they were, you know, counting. I don't know what happened. There was a humongous growth of part-time people.
Mysterious.
And also, more importantly, the timing of it is suspect at best.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the problem comes in.
Well, this is like, if you remember, during the second George Bush administration, all of a sudden, just before the election, all kinds of red alerts and, oh, God, they're going to be bombing us any minute and make people shake in their boots. And there was years later, they said, yeah, well, all of us government guys, we phonied up these threats. I mean, I don't put it past the government to phony up anything. I just don't trust them. I think that, whoever's in charge is, saying, hey, he does a lot better job over here. You can give you a G-14 position if you, to play ball here.
I think the biggest problem is with this is you have revisions, allowances for revisions, whether it's 1 month or 2 months into the future. And you look back and you have a revision. So all of a sudden, that really wasn't that. It was just, we had it. And then by the time that happens, people forget. We have very short-term memories. It's just like the banking crisis. When the banking crisis was going on, they hit a lot of things like the LIBOR numbers. Everybody knew, supposedly in government and Bernanke, and that there was a problem with LIBOR, that they were BSing with the numbers, but they let it go for the better good, Machiavellian style. Right? So what happens is a few years later, we find out, miraculous. There was this big problem with LIBOR, but you know what? In the end, it was good because it made sure this bank stayed, solvent. So they have to pay a few hundred million dollars at this point. It's better off than being bankrupt.
Yeah.
So there you go. I want to tell you something. This is a confession. This is something I need to talk to you alone about. Nobody's listening. I feel a little invaded. It seems that my Twitter feed on my iPhone and various applications on my iPhone have been invaded by presidential crap. I got Michelle Obama all over my Twitter feed, it seems, telling me that I have to register to vote, get out there to vote.
Huh.
I get none of this. How come you get none of it?
I get none of it. I've never gotten Michelle Obama asking me to vote. I haven't seen the presidential thing.
Well, maybe it's because I use third party. No, I use a iPhone app. I get it on there. Which is the iPhone Twitter app.
Of course, the Android phone, which doesn't apparently have this problem. I guess it's just for you Apple fanboys. They figure Democrat anyway.
Oh. I just find it very, offensive. Not that – I don't care who's doing it. I just find that the constant reminders – I don't care if it's Romney or – I don't care who's doing it. It's just it's annoying. Their picture up there telling me all sorts of things I got to be doing. Ugh. Anyway, Facebook was the focus of a cover story on Barron's. I gave you a link there, or I attached it to this email. And it seems that there's a big picture of Facebook logo on the front with a little thumbs down is worth $15, is what Barron's is saying. A full big story on this whole thing. Well, Facebook is just not worth the money. I thought it was kind of an interesting article. Meantime, Zynga, which does a lot of the revenue for Facebook, right, because of their Farmville and their various gaming mafia wars or whatever they're doing and whatever it is, their stock is just in the toilet.
Yeah.
They came out a couple of days ago with another number. It was like, ugh, that's ugly. And their stock just continues to go down, all-time low from the inception, which is really interesting considering obviously, people are sick of feeding their sheep on a farm and trying to pay for it. I guess that whole thing is over.
I never did any of that stuff.
I never understood
it.
It was dumb. It was like kind of pet rockish.
Yeah.
you know? And, but they made money for a while, and then they're out.
But thing is a little baffling. Why would they go out of their way to slam in a big front page story like that?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I was wondering at that time if it was kind of the, you know, when you get something on a cover page, when it's either going down, when something's just being obliterated, or something is like, wow, unbelievable. That's oftentimes the a contraindicator.
Yes, Facebook this is true. I agree with that. But this is almost like somebody at the magazine has a grudge or something. This is terrible.
Yeah, that's a big whopper. I mean, big. I was pretty surprised about that. I thought it was so late too. It was so late in the game.
Yeah,
to
besides that, this number should be $7. That's the way I see it. But I,
maybe that's the problem. All right, let's see. What else are we talking about? Stocktoberfest is in full swing.
What is that?
Every Stocktober, starting last year, we decided to take listener and reader stock names they wanted analyzed. And we put it through our process, and we come up with a daily analysis of one or two stocks from our listeners and readers. We got just an overwhelming amount. We couldn't hit them all. So we put two per day up on the Disciplined Investor, and you should take a look at it. It's pretty cool.
All right. I will.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Lots of downgrades and warnings out. Intel is now at a 52-week low. Cummins, which is a truck engine maker, came out after hours tonight and downgraded their guidance. They're down to about 6%. A lot of blame being on China and all that. Edwards Life Sciences, which makes medical devices and parts, medical, down 21% after guiding lower last night, the night before. We saw Alcoa come out. Alcoa beat, but the range of potential, I mean, they were going from a negative 7 cents to a positive 11 cents potential for where analysts were looking for it to come in. And it came out at a plus 3 cents. And I believe they were a little bit high on revenue, but they guided lower overall aluminum demand and production for the next year. Alcoa was up about 2.5%. Last I saw it, after hours, it was down 1%. So it kind of does what Alcoa does. I would venture to say that unless things change, it ran up into earnings. We talk about the same thing all the time. It runs up into earnings. Earnings come out, it gets a pop, and then it starts coming back down.
Sounds like something you could play.
Yeah, you could. I mean, it seems to be, you know, a lot of what happens is it's this is kind of standard investor, you know, greed, fear stuff. You know, everybody wants to get in before whatever happens. They don't want to miss out. And then they find out that the reality sell the news. We saw Yum Brands come out. They actually guided higher on their numbers. And a lot of it's because of Taco Bell. Taco Bell seems to be getting some traction. Now, that's an interesting story because just last week, there was a well-known short seller, David Einhorn, who was at the Value Conference, who said that he's shorting Chipotle. And one of his reasons is that he believes that Taco Bell is going to take a lot of market share. How ridiculous is that?
What does he know that we don't know? Is Taco Bell opening sit-down restaurants?
How is Taco... But they are changing their menu slightly. But I don't think they're at the level of what Chipotle is at.
I don't know.
Kind of crazy. What else do we have here?
Yeah, so anyway, debates thing. It's pretty funny.
Let's talk about the debates. Let's not hold out anymore. What you watched it, of course. As a matter of fact, you watched it because that's one of the reasons we didn't talk last week.
Yeah, I had to watch it. I mean, it was my theory was, and I stick with it. It's a little crazy, but Obama was not collecting as much money. And so if he could tank the debates and get back even with Romney in the polls, knowing that he'll win anyway, he could get more money so far as his fundraising is concerned. And, in fact, I think he pulled in like $180 million right after that thing because people are just throwing money at him because they're scared to death that Romney's going to win.
That's a pretty dangerous tactic, don't you think?
Yeah, but not if you don't really care if you're going to win or not. You just want to get money.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So if that's the case, does he then come out like a tiger on the next debate?
Depends if he's still rolling in dough. You know, it depends. I think everything is about that guy has been fundraising. I mean, he's an amazing fundraiser. You know, he's supposed to get $1 billion this year. I don't know how much money they, you know, from Chicago. I'm not saying he's corrupt or anything, but I'm sure there's some ways of, with that kind of money, of skimming some.
Well, there's been a little wrinkle in some of the fundraising that's been going on, because there is some kind of rules that you're not allowed to fundraise and take money from foreign nationals or foreign countries. But yet there's a bunch of obscure, fundraising activities going on in China and a few other places. And they're saying the maximum contribution they'll take, I think, is $190. Because if you put $200 or more, you have to actually report that on your – you know, on your official log of where you got your money from.
I think you can run that through one of those super PACs, though, a 501c4. I think that's where that money would be going normally.
But are you allowed to take foreign money?
I think the 501c4s can. I don't see any reason why they can't. I'd have to look into it. I don't know for sure, and I'm sure somebody is screaming if you can't. But I think I thought you could.
I saw some kind of a news thing on tonight on CNN, I believe it was.
Let me just Google it.
Okay, so Google.
We can actually Google while we're talking.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
Boy.
It's a miracle.
Wow. When did you start being able to do something like that?
I don't know. I think it's dangerous.
Should I whistle? Should we have a
501c4, which I believe is the super PAC. Foreign, foreign money. Acceptance. I always like to... acceptance.
All right, what do you got?
Foreign money donate to a 5. This is right off the top. The first is money, and I can't remember. This is some guy in one of these crazy e-hows, which is always sketchy.
That was a horrible.
Here, John McCain, is Romney's super PAC funded with foreign money? Investigating how money corrupts democracy, blah, blah, blah. Loopholes, foreign donations. The toothless disclosure requirements of a 501c4. Loopholes, foreign donations. Sure.
I think that's the one that's under $190.
No.
Under two. Really?
Because you're not really giving it to a campaign. You're giving it to these guys.
Oh, I see. Who can then put it wherever they want.
Yeah. And it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing.
Nice. All right. Well, there you go. So the
the foreigners are buying the buying.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. So BlackBerry, can we just talk about – well, let's go back to this for a second. We're going to have BlackBerry, but I the debate. So you think that he tanked it so he can get more money?
Yeah. I know. It's silly.
It's ridiculous, by the way. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think
there's no chance they'd ever do anything so sneaky.
Yeah. There was talk about, hey, he didn't have a teleprompter. Okay, that's one thing. There was something else that Romney looked like he was on. Romney looked like he was in debate, debate ready. I didn't think anything special about Romney, except for when you put him next to the body language, the lack of eye contact, and the overall debate readiness of Obama, that's where the problem came in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, I think everybody was saying that that was a real bad situation. Right now we're seeing the polls, you know, come up in Romney's come up for Romney, depending on which poll you look at. But they're pretty close at this point by most polls. And what's interesting is that this week also we're going to have on Thursday the vice presidential debate.
Yeah.
How do you think how's that going to go?
Well, that's going to be fun to watch because you have Joe Biden, who is a bullcrapper. I mean, this guy's people can always forget that he, like 10 years before he ran for vice president, he was caught lying about his academic career, saying he went to some school he didn't do. I mean, he was just essentially he's almost like a pathological liar. And he's a sweet talker. He's a sweet talker. You know,
he also is very, very tan.
Yeah, very tan. He's very man tan and silver fox. So he's going to be up there with his big phony smile, that big, huge smile. And then you got Ryan, who sounds to me like he's 14 years old and he's at the point where his voice is starting to change.
Oh, boy. But Ryan's a smart guy. I mean, he's good
Ryan,
and fun.
I've heard him. He's really smart, except his presentation is so childlike. It's like, well, there's a high school kid who's a good debater. I mean, it's going to be funny to watch.
I think it's going to be very funny to watch, and I'm actually looking forward to that more than I am any of the presidential debates. But you know,
I think a lot of people are.
After the presidential debate, I had a buddy call me up that night and said, you know what, you're going to see a big Romney move the next day because, you know, the guys on Wall Street and all that really are hoping that Romney gets in, blah 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 blah, and there's going to be a big rally. Well, there was a big rally the next day, which lasted, you know, a day.
A day.
And then we saw the jobs number come out, and there was another big rally, and then that faded towards the end of the day to zero, and then we kind of walked into where we are this week.
Yeah, it was boring.
Well, today was down hard. Today was one of the, I mean, compared to where things have been moving, the market never recovered today. It just started going down and down and down and down. It finished down about 1% for the S&P, 1.5% or so on the NASDAQ, which sliced through its 50-day average, and some significant support. So, you know, things are looking a little bit weird out there right now.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
I see. But coal stocks are getting a little bit of a bump because natural gas has been just flying higher.
Yeah, well, it's about time.
Yeah. And then also, I just want to mention before we go maybe to our stocks and a few other things, two things. Well, three things, actually. Number one, Research in Motion is coming out with their newest BlackBerry 10. Now they're pushing it back again to maybe the latter part of the first quarter of 2013. What is so difficult with them getting out this next generation of BlackBerry? Don't they realize that everything hinges on this?
Well, that's probably what they do realize, and this is so they're getting stage fright.
I mean, I just don't understand. This is a company that had, you know, they still have a decent following. Not as good as it was. And they have money in the bank, and I just don't understand what their big problem is. They kind of, you're right, they just, they got total, it's like they totally don't have any ideas and the ability. I mean, this is, how long is this coming already, this update? It's forever.
It's unbelievable. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't even, I've given up on them. I suppose it's just going Market Watch.
The only thing they have going
for
them is their messaging, which now can be done. The messaging, right? And the keyboard. My wife loves the keyboard.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people love that keyboard.
I can't get my fingers on that keyboard. It's like I hit three keys at a time when I do that.
Mm. All right. Well, let's take a look at our stocks.
Netflix, moving up quite again. Can you not hear me?
You're breaking up more and more as time goes by. The latest
really?
Skype upgrades have been disastrous for most people doing these podcasts. Mm.
Okay, let's look at our stocks.
But, yeah, Netflix we'll talk about next show.
Okay.
It's going to be funnier, I think, by then. All right. No, so we haven't looked at these stocks for two, three weeks.
Right, exactly. And these are just stocks that we just talk about and then track. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It is very important to understand that any stock can move up or down. You could lose all your money investing in it.
Or not
recommending that. We may own these kinds of horoscopes or not. And on top of that, seek competent financial advice before making any investment decisions. Thank you.
And, of course, you should have just done what he said when HP was 29. Now it's this thing still hasn't stopped itself out and is sitting there with a 50% gain.
Unbelievable. Love it. Icon Enterprises up 12.5%. Cracker Barrel up 50%.
Yeah, I guess 15%.
There was something weird about Cracker Barrel yesterday.
What?
Yeah. Opco Health got stopped out.
What'd you hear about Cracker Barrel?
Opco. I don't know. There was some kind of news yesterday going on, something weird about some lawsuit or something like that, but the stock didn't do much. So it was kind of in the background, I guess.
My Dell short is looking good.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Tracking. The only difference is between that and Hewlett Packard is a couple of months.
Yeah, 3 months.
Right, that's all it is.
Almost exactly to the day.
Yeah, it was on the earnings. It was. We were going to do, you know, do it on the next earnings for.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, let me just short this thing.
Yep, TransDigm Digital (TDG) is moving nicely, up 15%. Chipotle is now down. It was up nicely, and then it got down again. Yahoo it's not going anywhere. I was actually considering last week, when it hit about 1625, if it got through there, we were going to actually, look to initiate a long, but it just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. Leg Mason short is kind of cruising along, up 2%. Sanderson Farms still holding on, up 16%. Got stopped out on natural gas. Natural gas is like 22.5 now. It's another 10% higher. Market Vectors Vietnam down 4%, just hanging in there. Zillow would have been nice if it didn't stop out. That's all I have to say. There was some investigation into some kind of something or other, and it's down from there. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters up 25%. in what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a good one. That was that's one of your specialties, and you don't hit it all the time. That's the problem.
But when you hit it, it can add up.
Yeah,
and it adds up nicely. AGCO Corporation, you were doing that for some insider stuff. Is flat. AMD got stopped out, and that's along with Intel again with a 2 week low. So I'm adding two positions.
I'm looking
one is
at
a long
at the AMD for I still think this is there's something I would see how far down it slides.
So I'm adding Baidu, which is the Chinese internet / Google kind of company. There is something going on with a company called Qihoo, which they're taking some market share. But Baidu really got hit on the chin recently, and a lot of people have taken some profits recently. But the 105.95 was a reasonable level going back a number of months of some support. Now, if it breaks that, it's all over. Actually, if it breaks about 104, it's all over. But Baidu at 106 is a nice little bounce candidate. And then Hain Celestial Group, which is a natural grocer snack food company, there is a gigantic gap in there that could possibly fill right from where we are here. If it gets below this like 62.5 number especially, it really can start moving lower pretty quickly.
All right.
So we're going to short that. Anything for you?
No, I got nothing. I'm kind of staying away. I'm watching like Apple and thinking about reshorting, but
We would pick up Apple at about 6.08. Buy it.
Yeah. I think that it would be a good idea. I would like to short it at 800.
Yes. We can wait for that. It could happen by the end of the year. You don't know.
We'll see what happens when they roll out the little pad.
I don't know. The little pad's going to have some pricing problems, I think, because now you're right in between the low-end iPhones, the iTouch. It's kind of where are we with the pricing of this, and how does it not cannibalize?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a problem with that. But anyway, we'll try to get together next week. I'm going up to Tallahassee to see the FSU game this weekend.
Florida State?
Yeah.
Who are they playing? Tallahassee, what is that? Is that Florida?
Yeah, Florida State, FSU.
But who are they playing?
I have no idea.
Oh, what kind of a football fan are you?
And my daughter goes to that school. It's a family weekend. So we go up there. We hang out,
She's a Tallahassee lassie?
It seems that way.
Huh.
She's a Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Oh, she's a sorority chick.
Yeah, we actually call her Daddy Daddy Please or Visa Visa Master.
Daddy Daddy Please. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I will see you next week, buddy.
Okay, it sounds good. One of the things I want to do, by the way, just before you hang up.
Yes.
I wanted to have a discussion. I think maybe we'll put this on a private recording and then maybe push it out there. I want to have a good discussion about how to trade the VIX.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Nobody.
It's interesting and it's complicated. But we're actually
complicated.
Yeah, we're long the VIX right now. Been long since last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll discuss that and other things next Tuesday. We'll talk to you then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.